Does all of you know Brother Smith? He's not mentioned any words this week. Not watered down the truth at all, but he preaches it as he reads it from the Word of God. We've been blessed by it so far, and I know you'll be blessed again tonight. Brother Richard Smith. It was just a little over a year ago when the television broadcast from the city of New Orleans was interrupted by a special news bulletin. Told us that a large office building in downtown New Orleans was on fire. And this was not an unusual thing to hear that there was a fire in a large city. But the thing that struck terror to our hearts was this, that they said there was no way of reaching the people who were trapped in the fire. For the building was so tall, there was no fire equipment that was available that could reach to where they were. There was no way of putting out the fire. And unless something happened very soon, all of the people on the 17th floor would perish. And then just a little bit later, it was said that some people had been rescued from the roof of this Ross building, that some helicopters that were just flying by, as they do down there, moving from one oil field to the other and so forth, these helicopters just flying by saw the situation. And they moved in, and in spite of the smoke and in spite of the flame, and even though these helicopters were very explosive because of the nature of those things which were on board, they risked their lives that others might be saved. And again and again and again, they crept into the smoke and the fire and saved quite a number. But there were those there who panicked, and many leaped from the windows, and some even lived in spite of the leap from that tremendous distance. But I had thought about this through this year. In fact, I was surprised not long ago when I heard it announced that the first anniversary of that fire had come and had gone. And it was telling about the things which had happened during that time and reliving those things that again killed you. And there was an interview with one of the persons who had lived. And there was one of those who had leaped and lived, and also an interview with some of those who had been rescued by those on the helicopter. And one of the interesting things is that the one who had leaped was bitter, and one of the others who had been saved could not stop giving thanks for the fact that they were alive. I believe that the Word of God also states something concerning this very matter. May I say tonight that this world is in danger, and that this world is in danger of the judgment of God, and even a natural or perhaps called an unnatural Holocaust could come upon it. Man has the capability of destroying this entire universe and everything that is therein. And yet, at the other hand, we see that God is saying, but I am still in control of the world. And that in the final analysis, that I will control the destiny of man, for because I have dictated the plan. And I have said that which will happen as far as man is concerned. I am the one who holds the destiny of the universe in my hand. And God is saying to this world, as he said to the children of Israel, as Moses spoke to them many years ago, according to Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter. Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter and the 15th verse, where Moses stands and says, see, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. And we notice that as God was speaking through the lips of Moses, notice the way in which these words are stated again. Life and good, and death and evil. There is a matter of choice here then set before mankind. It has always been. I have heard people curse God because of the circumstances in which they have found themselves. I have heard people curse and say, why did God do this to me? I have heard people curse God and say, if there were a God in heaven, then I would not be in this particular position. And then on the other hand, we have noted in people who have endured great adversity, who have praised God for his goodness, and have looked from the place where they are and seeing the things that have happened and recognizing that many things could be far worse than they are, have given thanks to God for the things that they have. Therefore, we look and see life through the eyes of God, and we see that it is good. And we see then the ways of the world, and see that these ways are the ways of death. Now, God has given us exceeding great and precious promises. I would like you to turn with me to the book of 2 Peter. To the book of 2 Peter, and we will begin the thought from the first chapter. 2 Peter, and beginning with verse 1, as a first chapter. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given us unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, we might say, using the Old Testament thought, life and good, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Wherefore, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, as we have gained knowledge through the Word of God, and this knowledge has been brought down, has been given to us by the God of wisdom, as we have gained a great knowledge in this universe of the universe that he has created, and as we have further gained knowledge of our God through the Word which he has given, then we ask that God give us the wisdom to use that which we have gained, the knowledge of the world and the knowledge of his book, and then, or the knowledge of his book, and use them, this knowledge, in a wise manner. And then we note that in the next verse of Deuteronomy 30 and verse 17, of Deuteronomy 30, it says, but if thy heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish. Now I know it's an old-fashioned thing to stand and talk about sin and call sin, sin. Call evil, evil. I've heard people say, well, I just do not like to hear sermons about things that are wrong. After all, I come to church to be inspired. Well, sometimes you've got to be able to recognize a snake when you see it. You know, there was down in Texas several years ago, there was a fellow coming along, went down along the Rio Grande River, and a little boy fishing there. And the little boy was catching a few fish, and the man said, what are you using for bait? He said, well, I'm using these stinging worms. He said, stinging worms? Let me see this. And he was using baby rattlesnakes for bait. And they are poisonous if you get enough of them. They just didn't happen to have as much of a, you know, the lethal dose that the big one had. I saw a little girl standing and gazing at a snake, you know, looking at it like that. She didn't realize it could have killed him. So you've got to be able to recognize sin. And if people are calling good evil and evil good in our day, and it's time that God's people come to the conclusion that God has always denounced sin. And in spite of some goody-goody preacher or whoever it might be, stand up and say, well, that's all right. They, you know, they just can't help their way. They can't help acting the way they are. And all these other things, and embrace all the things that God has denounced through His Word over the past. They embrace and bring it in, and after a while, you know what happens? They destroy the church, they destroy themselves, and may I say, they destroy the individual because they do not know the ways of God. It's time that somebody stands up and says that there is a life, a way of life that is good, and that there is a way of death that that is the result of evil. And God says here that if you want to turn away, if you want to walk in the way of sin, that ye shall surely perish. Now the scripture points out God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And we stop there. We think that's beautiful. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Every child learns this. John 3:16, the love verse, the golden text of the Bible. Everybody learns that. But we do not care about going on to note that says that man has loved darkness rather than light. And just the condemnation has come into the world. That men have loved darkness rather than light. They've taken these things unto themselves. And finally stood up and said, look, this is wrong. You know, we got this situation ethics deal in our world today. You know, the Hugh Hefner variety and so forth. And he says, stands up and says, well, it's all right. You know, after all, if you have to lie in a certain case, well, you know, just to get out of the situation, that's all right. And if it's a certain position, you can commit a little adultery, and God understands. And you can go over here and do a little stealing, and God understands. And you can just do anything you want to, and God understands. Sure, He understands. He understands enough to condemn that evil. And that's what this man is saying here. That's what Moses was talking about. So we find that back there, as we read in 2 Peter, the first chapter, by the power of God, by God's grace through Jesus Christ, we have been given a new way of life. And there are exceeding great and precious promises involved in, but some of it applies right now. I wouldn't want to be burdened with a lot of the things that people are burdened with. I wouldn't want to be carrying around on my conscience the unforgiven sin. Down deep in the hearts of these people, they know better. I remember one time in the streets of Chicago, we were working on the Skid Row down there on Madison Street or Avenue, whatever it was then. And anyway, we were working among those people, and a man came up to me and asked me for some money. Well, we never gave when he sold any money. We knew where he'd go. He'd get a bottle of cheap wine and get drunk, and we'd have to pick him up anyway. So just better not to give it to him. And he thought that I said to him, I do not have any money to buy whiskey. And he thought I said, well, I do not have any money. And he goes, tut, 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 Jesus doesn't like a liar. Well, you see, people know. They've heard enough about this. They know the difference between right and wrong. And I say that it's time for God's people to stand up and say, there is a right way, there's a wrong way. And these little children, did any of you read the newspaper yesterday, Dayton paper, where this father wrote up this big article about the cursing two-year-old son received his first haircut? How proud this father was of the way this young man said some very nice things about his father and the barber and a few other things. This was a big deal. And I thought to myself, oh, help that little boy. He's such a, supposed to have a father and mother, but they do not know anything about raising a child. And he's doing that now. He's cursing dad and mom and the barber now. He'll be kicking them in the shins at the supermarket in a few days, and before long, he'll be shooting at policemen and maybe shooting the parents. So God helps America to stand up and look at the things that are right and the things that are wrong. It's time they did this. And this was just an old-fashioned message, I realized. They said, I'm setting it before you. Open your eyes. Can't we see in America the way that we're going? Why do we have all the things that are happening around today? We talk about drug pushers and alcoholism and all the other things. Well, alcohol is nothing more than a drug, and we sanctioned it and we legalized it years ago and said, well, they're going to do it anyway, and before long they're going to legalize everything else. But God still says it's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong. And he says, I'm setting before you a way. Now the way is the way that will lead to the goodness of life and God's eternal kingdom. Let's go back to a promise that was given to the children of Israel. And the book of Leviticus, the 20th the 20th chapter and the 24th verse, God said this to his children, to the children of Israel. Leviticus 20, verse 24. But I have said unto you, ye shall inherit their land. I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. Now notice here that God says, I'm giving you a land that was flowing with milk and honey. But he says, I am the Lord God who has separated you from other people. In the New Testament, we find the word sanctified there. It means set apart for a particular purpose. It doesn't mean you're one of these holier-than-thou persons. It doesn't mean that you can't, yet you just walk in clouds and so forth, that you cannot even see the things that are upon this earth. But it's talking about being a separate people seeking to do better things. And I appreciated Brother Ralph Strong there where he said, God knows that I'm human. Certainly God knows that we're human, and thank God that he does and that his forgiveness enters into it. But God is saying to the children of Israel, look, I promised you the land, and I know you're human beings, but I've called you to be different. I have called you to walk in my way, not in the ways of all these heathen out here. They sacrifice their children to idols, and we say, oh, but we do not do that today. Well, how about the man that was proud of the fact that his son cursed the barber and cursed dad? And they teach them these things. How about these, they're treating 6 and 7 and 8 year old alcoholics today? How about these people that put drugs in their children's mouths? How about these individuals who are working to, as did you see this little item that says down to the sea in fifth? Talking about England, it says by 1985, England will not only be the Great Britain will not only be the poorest nation in Europe, but it'll also be the drunkest. And isn't this something to think about? God's saying here, I'm going to give you a land that's flowing with milk and honey, but I want you to separate yourself from this. Now you shall be holy unto me, verse 26. I, the Lord, am holy and have severed you from other people that you should be mine. Now, geez, let me qualify this. Jesus in John 17 says, you are in the world, but not of the world. We cannot walk, separate ourselves wholly from society. You cannot go over here and get in a little group by yourself and pull the curtain around you and say, now this is the way we're going to live and let the world go wherever it wants. No, he's not saying this. But God is saying, I have separated you for a purpose, to go on to serve me. Now go back to Numbers, the 13th chapter. Numbers 13. And it says here that the children of Israel had been told to go up to send spies out in the land. And the 13th chapter, verse 21, these individuals went out, and it says, so they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men came to Hamath, and they ascended by the south, and so on. And anyway, when they came back, verse 25, they returned from searching the land after 40 days. Now this was good. They had found everything that was good there. There were grapes and pomegranates and all the other things that were good for them there. And when they arrived back there, they went and came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of children of Israel under the wilderness of Haran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And I believe that we could have a testimonial meeting here tonight if people could stand up and tell of the good things that God has given them. They have walked in the ways of God. They have lived in wonderful places and had great experiences with God. They know that God is real. They know that God's work, that God works. In a sense, they have been sipping of the honey and the eating of the grapes. They have been enjoying the good things that God has given them. God has given them good things today. Now, this, and you can report that. But we find here that he was, in that sense, showing the fruits of that which God is doing. And they told them and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Oh, but isn't it wonderful? God is good, God is great, God is gracious, God is kind, God loves us, and yet there are battles to be won, said God. There are battles to be fought. There are battles to be won. Some battles are even to be lost. And God says, go on to possess the land, to possess the thing toward which you are journeying. Go on to possess the promised land. After all, they are given to you great, exceeding great and precious promises. The people then said, these spies said, nevertheless. Oh, how often I've heard that. How often I've heard that. Well, I know it needs to be done, but, you know, there are some things that might happen. You know, in the future, if we spend every dollar that we have, it just might be that we will not be able to pay the preacher or something like that. But anyway, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great, and moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The children of Anak, the children of Belial, the children of Balaam, the heathen people, we saw them there. In this land that God said, I will give it to you. But we looked down there and we saw all these good things, but our eyes weren't on these. Our eyes were over here. We saw the giants in the land. And it says that we are not able, verse 31, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Verse 32, and they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come out of giants, and we were, notice carefully, we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. When we go up against the forces of evil, and talking to someone comes up here and tells us about the things of the world, and they're talking about evil, and they start trying to put down the people of God. What are you anyway? Do you not stand up for God and for Christ and tell them about the good things which are to come? I remember talking to a man one time. He said, I'll not get into all the details of it, but anyway, this man was one of these fellows who had sat with a bottle of a booze between his feet. And the first time he met him, he told me, he says, I want you to see that bottle right there. He says, I want you to see it, but I don't want to hear one word out of you about it. That's all right. If you want to kill yourself drinking, that's all right. He looked at me like that and didn't say anything at all. And then a few days he got sick, and guess who he called? So you see, there are things that we cannot justify the book. We cannot balance them. There is no way that we can come up against the giants of our own of ourselves. There can be evil in our lives. But Romans, the 5th chapter and verse 1, I will skip through a few verses here for the sake of saving of time. The first verse of Romans 5, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 6, it says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And then verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. They said back there are giants in the land, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And when we consider what we are today, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The scripture plainly states this. And when we look with it at ourselves honestly, through the eyes of the Word, we can see our own sinfulness. But again, may we say that we can become giants of the Word of God, giants in the land, standing against the giants of the Word, if we know God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We can be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus our Lord. 1 Corinthians, the 1st chapter, and the 17th verse. It says this, 1 Corinthians, the 1st chapter and the 17th verse. Paul stating, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. How marvelous it is that there is salvation through the cross of Jesus Christ. I think often of that scene on Calvary, or let's go back a little bit before that, and I see Jesus before Pilate and the others there, and as they mocked him and as they scourged him and so forth, and they questioned him, he stood there in quiet dignity as the Son of God. And at the time of his crucifixion, as a centurion stood by, and after having heard the cries of the man on the cross, and having noted then specially, I believe, the word, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, this man, the centurion, said, truly, this was the Son of God. And those who follow then our God through Jesus Christ are not facing this world without help or without hope. They are not facing this world with nothing in their hands, but rather they are facing this world with the power of God's Word back of them, for the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. They are backed by the power of Almighty God. They are backed by the power of Jesus Christ, for Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Tonight again we set before you life and good, death and evil. We want you to see that there is a good way of life in God through Jesus Christ. We want you to recognize that God is still working, that God is still redeeming people. And it says that if in the 16th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, and Jesus said unto his disciples, this is verse 24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. This is seeking the way of life and good. This is not following the way of death and evil. There are many in this world tonight who are having a ball. They're having a good time. And then tomorrow they'll be scratching their heads way out here, you know. And they'll have the whole weekend to try to recover. And all this shell, it must be good for the headache business, you know, all these pills and things that they can get to get over all that. But anyway, they're following this way, and they think they're having a good time. Men are running to and fro, and knowledge is being increased, but it seems like there's getting to be, we're hearing a lot about shortages, there's getting to be an awful great shortage of wisdom. Men are not seeking, they're not searching, they're not sorting out the good things that God has in store for those who love Him. And so I trust that tonight, as you think about the things that are happening in your life, as you look around you and where there is so much difficulty, trial, tribulation, heartache, that you remember the words of Jesus, come unto me, come unto me. You take my yoke upon you. After all, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. I could see this, you know, when I went to Nova Scotia several years ago, a man who's now dead gave me what they call a horn yoke. It was a yoke that was used and it fitted to the horns of some very young oxen. And I asked him about this, and he said, yes, he said, these animals are very small. And he said, when you fasten them together this way, when they put their heads to the yoke, and they, even though they're small, they can pull a tremendous load. And I see that this is what happens when we join our lives with the life of God in Jesus Christ. And when we give our hearts and lives to God, and we give our hearts and lives to Jesus Christ, and when we realize that God wants us to have the very best in life, He doesn't want us to be dirt poor and just down and out in every way we may be. Who knows what will happen to us? Lots of good people come to this life that hardly had two nickels to rub together. They knew God, and they knew Christ, and they had peace even then. There have been rich people who have lived for God and Christ too, and they too have peace. But I'm saying that when they're, regardless whether we're rich or poor, whether we're high and mighty or low, whether if we have humbled ourselves to the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ and have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and have made Jesus, made God the Creator, sovereign of our lives, and have given our lives over to Jesus as Savior, then we are walking in the way that will lead to life in the kingdom of God. And as I said, over and over again throughout the 31 years in the ministry, God's word still tells me that God will finally bring about into this world, as he has saved in the past, he will bring into this world his Son, Jesus Christ. Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. Jesus Christ is coming. He will establish an era of peace upon this earth. The things that are here today will become as nothing in the sight of God or even in the sight of man. And as was outgoing, turning to all these texts, Isaiah 2 shall become reality, where it says, the law of the Lord shall go forth from Jerusalem, men shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. What a marvelous day that will be. Wouldn't it be wonderful to live in an era of peace, a peace on earth and goodwill among men? This was a song the angels sang when Jesus was given to this world. Many, many years ago, on that first Christmas night, whenever it might have been, way back there somewhere beyond our time, of course, when Jesus was given to this world, his angels sang peace on earth and goodwill among men. They heralded the day when this lowly babe of Bethlehem should be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I say tonight, life and death is set before you. Life and good, yea, death and evil, choose you this day, said Joshua. Choose you this day whom you shall serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Will you give your heart, your life, your very being to God through Christ tonight, looking forward and hastening to the day when those exceeding great and precious promises shall become reality, when God's rule shall take the place of the rule of all the nations, and we'll not be worrying about what the Russia will do, you know, that whatever that man's name is over there in control right now. We'll not worry about what will come out of Red China. We'll not be worrying about what's coming out of the Egypt or one of these other places, or the United States of America or some other place. We'll not be worrying about that. For the scripture says, very plainly states, hallelujah, for the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. May we labor for that day, and in that wondrous time we receive blessings if we give our hearts, our lives, our being to the service of God, to the service of the cross of Christ. Stand up and be counted for him. We will finally come to life along with many others as we prepare others for God's kingdom. May we live for him that today, that we might live with him in that land flowing with milk and honey in the kingdom of God, promised to the saints of all ages. God bless you.